Now, go back with me to Luke chapter 12. Let's read verses 8 and 9 again. Luke 12. Verses 8 and 9. The Lord Jesus Christ, speaking to His disciples, says, "Also I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. But he that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God." Joseph Parks is coming this morning to confess the Lord Jesus Christ in believers' baptism according to the Lord's command, who said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned." Those that publicly confess the Lord Jesus Christ before men, He said, "I will confess before the angels of God." And in thinking about that, confessing Christ, this scripture came to my mind. Thinking about Him confessing Christ in baptism, these words came clearly to my mind. What is it to confess Christ? He said, "He that confesseth me, whosoever shall confess me before men." What is it to confess Christ? And in a minute, what is it to deny Him? Well, the answer, you can be turning to Romans 10, Romans chapter 10. The answer is actually in the question, or in what our Lord said. "Whosoever shall confess me." To confess Christ before men is to confess Him, who He is, why He came, what He did, and whether or not He did it, where He is now, and that He's coming again. To confess Him is this confession of Christ. Romans 10 is a chapter many, many people in religion use, but I really don't believe they believe this. Everyone believes it with their heart. I know because their mouths condemn them. Verses 9 and 10. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. The Lord Jesus, or as Brother Barnard used to say, confess Jesus to be Lord. The Lord Jesus. What it is to confess Christ is to confess that that man who came to this earth 2,000 years ago is God, is the Lord. He's our God. He's Creator. To confess Christ before men is to say that that one who came is the one who made this earth. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The world and they that dwell therein. The fullness thereof. Everything about it is the Lord. That He is Lord. He is sovereign. Not a figurehead. Certainly not Lord if you let Him. That means He's not Lord. If there's anything anyone can let Him do, He's not God. He's not Lord. He's sovereign. To confess Christ before men, the Lord Jesus, is to confess that He is Lord, that He does as He will, with whom He will, because He will. That's what it means to be capital L, O-R-D, Lord. The Lord. To talk of man having a free will is to deny the Lordship of Jesus Christ. It's to deny Him who said, I will. I will. His will alone is sovereign. To confess Jesus Christ, the Lord, Jesus Christ, is to say that He's the judge over all. He's the Lord. Lord. You know, over in England, you have the House of Lords. Those fellows that wear wigs, powdered wigs, they still wear them. Lords. Well, they're not. But the Scripture says, and you know, those fellows make the laws and people bow and scrape to those fellows. Well, Scripture says He's Lord of Lords. Small L-O-R-D. He's capital L. King, capital K, of kings. It goes on to say in Scripture that the king's heart, that is the very heart, the mind, the will of the most powerful monarch on earth, whoever, just name somebody, the king's heart is in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, men got it all backward. What will you do with Jesus? Here's the question. What's He going to do with us? See, this is what Peter preached at Pentecost. Peter preached at Pentecost. He said, men, ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, they all knew who that was. A man approved of God, they knew that. By signs and miracles and wonders, whom you crucified, you saw Him hanging on that tree, didn't you? You put Him there. God hath made Him Lord, and you're in His hands to do with as He pleases. And it struck them with fear. It's not just Jesus. It's the Lord Jesus. And our Lord said this. Well did Isaiah prophesy of this people. This people draweth near to me with their lips. They say, Lord, Lord. When they don't believe in their heart that He is really Lord, or else they would, with fear and trembling, they'd fear Him. They'd be afraid to call His name. They'd be afraid to say the things they say about Him. Be afraid to do all that they do. In Jesus' name. The Lord. To confess Him is to confess before all men He's Lord. He's Lord. He's the judge over all. Now, if you're the judge, does a criminal come before you to accept you? You got a guilty man here, and he deserves to die, and he deserves to die, and he's standing before the judge. And can you imagine what that judge would do if the man stood before him and said, you know, I've been praying about this and thinking about this. He said, I decided to let you pardon me. Oh, yeah, I've accepted you as my personal Savior. What would you do? I know what I would do. Bailiff, bind him hand and foot and cast him in prison. I'm the judge here. I do the accepting. That's Christ. That's the Lord Jesus. Now, I got good news for you. Everyone that comes in guilty as charged, everyone that comes bowing before this sovereign judge of the universe, a just God, will by no means clear the guilty. Every single one that comes before Him with a rope around their neck and says, I'm guilty as charged, undeserving, unworthy of Thy favor. I need mercy. Would you please be merciful to me, O Lord Jesus Christ? Every single one, He says, bailiff, loose him. And let him go. And not just that, he's coming home with me, my son. To confess him. He's a judge. Confess him. He's a judge. He's a creator. He's a sovereign. He's the ruler. Fear of the Lord, you said. That's when you know somebody's met the Lord Jesus Christ, when they start fearing him. Fear of the Lord. He is Lord. He is Lord. Not when you let him be Lord, just when he lets you know it. This is what happened. He lets you know it. They're going to know, he said, my people. I've chosen them that they might know me, that I'm him. I'm the Lord. To confess him is to acknowledge before all men his lordship, his authority, his head. He's the head over all principalities and powers. To tell this world, Satan's not Lord. Oh, no. Jesus Christ is. It shocks people, you know, when you tell them that Satan can only do what the Lord allows him to do. They think. And then they accuse God of, you know, well, I'm not going to get into that, but read Job. He's Lord. Confess before men. I don't understand it fully, but I believe. It's what the Scriptures tell him. To confess him before men is to say he is holy. He, his holiness. It's to call him our Father. His holiness. Reverend. Holy and reverend is his name. His holiness. His and his alone. There are no holy men on this earth. No, sir. Jesus Christ is holy. He's holy. To confess him before men is to confess his salvation. We saw that in Psalm 3. Salvation belongeth to the Lord. It's his. It's his. Not up for men to accept. It's up to him to give. It's his. Belongeth to him. Salvation belongeth to him. It's his right. His prerogative, isn't it? It's his. Can't demand it. To confess before men the Lord Jesus Christ is to confess his righteousness and his alone. David in Psalm 71 mentioned the Lord's righteousness several times. And he said, I will make mention of thy righteousness and thine alone. Many go about to establish one and think they have one. You know, their good works and their religion and all that, and think, well, God's now pleased. No, he's not. The Lord is well pleased for his righteousness' sake, Christ's righteousness, his righteousness. In Romans 10, it says, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. This is what the heart believes, that Christ is the Lord, our righteousness. This is what they believe. His blood, to confess before men, that it's the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, that puts away sin. Not my penance, not my repentance, not my good works, not my turning over a new leaf, not me being sorry for my sin. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what atones for my soul. That God sees the blood and he passes over me. Not because he sees that I'm trying my best. It's the blood. The blood. To confess Christ before men is to confess that he is wisdom. He and he alone is the wisdom of God. Everything else is foolishness. Doesn't matter what men say, it's foolishness. Let God be true and every man a liar. And God says the whole truth and nothing but the truth is Jesus Christ. He's all the wisdom of God. And by his knowledge, shall the righteous servant of God justify many. To confess before men that he's the power of God unto salvation. His life, his blood, his righteousness, his work. His sanctification. To confess before men is to confess that the only reason God separates sheep from the goats, what makes sheep not goats and so forth, is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. He's by the which will we were sanctified through the offering of the blood of Jesus Christ once for all. Sanctified by Christ. He is our sanctification. To confess before men Jesus Christ is to confess that he's the intercessor. The only one. Only one. There's only one mediator between God and man, and that's the man, Christ Jesus. He's the only one God here. He will hear. God will hear everyone that comes to God by Him. No other. There is no other. See, what is this all about? Well, one more time. This is to the praise of the glory of our God, His grace in Christ. It's all about His glory. That according as it is written, He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Not our church, not our decision, not the baptism, not in anything but Him. To confess before men is to confess this whole thing, everything is about Him. By Him, through Him, to Him, for Him, because of Him, it's Him. It's Him. Not us. Not Him and us. It's Him. That's to confess Christ. Salvation. And salvation is for the Lord to show you that. To show you His glory. That's His glory. To reveal His glory. That's, He said in John 17, Father, I will that those whom Thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they might behold my glory. He said, and the glory I've given you gave me, I've given to them. Just like those three He took up on the mountain that day to see who He really was. He's done that to many in here. To confess Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, before men is to confess our sin. Go over to 1 John chapter 1. To confess Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, before men is to confess our sin. Is to say, I am a hell-deserving sinner. And when we talk about sin, that's what it means to know you're a sinner. You're talking about a hell-deserving sinner. Joseph came to me the first part of the week, last week, and he had his Bible with him. Kelly opened to Psalm 38. You read that. And he said it blessed him so much. And he wanted to read it to me again. He said, this is me. Didn't you? He said, that's me. Psalm 38. Psalm 51. God be merciful to me. He said, that publican. He said, that's me. See, this is for those who know what they are. And that's why they need Christ, you see. To confess Christ is to confess you're a hell-deserving sinner and will forever perish unless the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses me. It is to confess, I am a sinner through and through. Read that by Philpott. Don't you love J.C. Philpott? Huh? Don't you just love that through Baker's Veil? That man knew the gospel. Always glorifying the Lord and debasing man, you know. Because man's a sinner and Christ came to save sinners. And man will never be anything but a sinner until God does something for him. And He does make him a new creature, holy and righteous like Jesus Christ. But that's still not you. You are still corrupt. That old man is still corrupt. And you know it's so. That's the sin that plagues you. Me. To confess your sin is to say, like Paul said, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. It's to say, oh wretched man that I am. You know, John Newton wrote to him, Amazing Grace, that saved a wretch like me. And you know, modern men changed the word wretch to save a one like me. Well, God's people know. They confess that they're wretches. To confess Christ is to confess our sin, nature and our sins, our sin actions. Look at 1 John chapter 1, verse 8. If we say we have no sin, that is born in sin. Come forth from the womb. David said this, in sin did my mother conceive me. My mother was a sinner. David, one of the few honest people, he said his mother was a sinner. Mine was too. Is. My mother was a self-righteous sinner. Chased the devil. I told you about her chasing the devil out of, trying to chase the devil out of town one time. In Southern Baptist religion, you know, didn't know God. My dad didn't know God. Preached, was a preacher, didn't know God. Weren't you? That's right. But God revealed to them the true God, the true Christ. The first thing they found out was we're sinners. Sin. We have sin. We're born in sin. We come forth from the womb speaking lies. Don't we? We come forth from the womb speaking lies. And if we say we have not that sin nature, verse 8, we deceive ourselves. The truth is not in us. Christ is not in us. This new nature is not in there. Because if it's not there, there's no struggle, is it? You deceive. If there's not a new heart, then you've got that old heart that's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. It will deceive you into thinking you're a good person. But if God puts a new heart in there, He convinces you of sin. The Spirit of God, led by the Spirit of God, convinces of sin. Who? What? Me. It's in here. That's what that publican was doing, remember? It's in here and I can't get it out. Let the blood cover it. Like Philpott said, it's never going to go away until God puts us in the grave. Read on. If we confess our sins, I love this, my favorite verse in the Bible. Verse 9, if we confess our sins, guilty, He's faithful, Joseph, and just to forgive. Blot them out. Stephen, clean slate. Are you a sinner? Yes, I am, Lord. No, you're not. I just wiped it all out. Holy, righteous, unblameable, unreprovable. And He said, don't let anybody lay anything to His charge. The accuser of the brethren. I saw him the other day. I didn't see it. Until someday He'll silence all that and put this old man. Read verse 10. If we say we have not sinned, actually sinned, what kind of sin? All manner of sins. When the Lord preached the Sermon on the Mount, He magnified the law, didn't He? He started talking about the murder and theft and adultery and so forth. Who's He talking to? The disciples. He said, if you don't repent, you'll perish. Who's guilty of all those things? The Lord magnified the law to show us that the law is spiritual. Paul said, the law is spiritual. He said, I thought I was righteous according to the law, but when I found out the law requires perfection in thought, he said, I haven't thought perfect thought. In deed, in motive, in heart. God looks on the heart. He said, it slew me, killed me. The law killed me. But Christ made me alive. So that's what it is to confess Christ, is to confess our sin. You say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar. Christ said, I came to save sinners. And His word's not in. Well, to confess Christ is to confess our need of Christ. To confess Christ before men is to confess, like we were saying, I'm unrighteous. I need His righteousness. I am unholy. I need His holiness. I'm naked. I need Him to cover me. I'm ashamed of myself. I need His glory. But I need Him to represent me. I'm guilty. I need His blood. I'm helpless. He's the only one that can help me. I'm dependent. I'm totally dependent. He's my sovereign Lord. I'm afar off. I need Him to bring me nigh. I am ignorant and foolish. I just don't know. He's my wisdom. I am prone to wander.
I need the shepherd to keep me, to come find me, and to keep me forever. That's what it is to confess Christ. Now, there's three ways, scripture ways, that the Lord told us to confess Him. Mark chapter 16. Three ways that we confess before men. Before men. We come before God, you know, first. We come before God first. Like the publican who came, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. He's saying, God, let the blood of thy sacrifice, thy lamb, be propitiation on the mercy seat for me, the sinner. He came to God first. Against thee and thee only have I sinned. Let wash me thoroughly in the blood of Christ. Purge me with hyssop and I'll be clean. Create in with me thy Holy Spirit. He's coming to God first. We come to God first. And confess before Him who we are and our need of Christ. Oh, please, let the blood of Christ put away my sin. Oh, God. But before men, Mark chapter 16, look at it. The Lord Himself says this in verse 15 and 16. He said to the disciples, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. What I just preached to you. Who I just preached to you. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. So the Lord said for every believer to publicly confess Him before men in baptism. That's what we're going to do this morning. That's what Joseph's going to do this morning. Confessing. Now what baptism is? There's nothing in this. This is just water. It's an old Franklin County well water. When I put it in there, it was so brown, I had to put iron out in it. It's just water. It doesn't do anything anybody. Not going to wash away one sin. We're going to go in there and we'll come out and we're going to be the same person that went in. But this is what the Lord said to do, to confess Him. See, we're confessing Him before men. His life, the life He lived, is He did it for me. My righteousness, my sanctification, my Redeemer, one that came to redeem me. We're going to go down under that water. And what that's saying is His death. Christ was crucified and buried. His death. That's my due. That's what I earned. That's the wages that my sin has earned before God. I should have been crucified at the hands of God. I should be buried and put out of sight forever for my sin against God. Kind of like a funeral. This is both a funeral and a wedding. That's what I've likened the baptism to. A funeral and a wedding. It's my funeral. So I'm saying before the world that Christ is my salvation. And I deserve to be buried and gone and done with. And someday I will be. The place thereof will know me no more. And sooner the better. Sooner the better. This old man. Get him out of here. But now we're not going to... Hopefully I'm not going to leave you under that water, Joseph. I'm going to come out. What's that? His resurrection. Christ said, I am the resurrection and the life. Christ didn't stay in that tomb. He came out 3 days later. He did not suffer corruption. It's like He said, I live. I was dead, but I'm alive. And He said, because I live, you live also. In Adam all died. We're going to die. We're going to go in the ground. But if you're in Christ, made alive. One of these days, these bodies are going to come out of the grave. Somebody says, how can that be? I don't know, but Christ said it. And it's true. How do you know it's true? Because He came out. His resurrection and His ascension. Where did He go when He came out of the grave? Where did He go? To the right hand of God and sat down. John, the Scripture said, we're seated in Him. Right now, seated with Him is Mary Magdalene, thief on the cross, the publican, Rahab the harlot. You just name some old wretches. Jacob, they're all right there, seated with Him. Just like He said. Why? Because He rose. Stephen. Baptism is like a wedding ceremony too. Wedding ceremony. You know, we got weddings all wrong, don't we? It's kind of like religion. We make more of the bride than we do the groom. Religion makes more of man than they do the Christ. They parade the bride down here and the bridegroom standing over here hoping she'll say yes. And everybody's just looking how beautiful she is. Now, that's not the way it's going to be in glory, buddy. Mm-mm. The bridegroom. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. And the bride's waiting on Him. Everybody's glorifying the bridegroom. All right? He's already said yes. And she will too. And like this baptism, I believe, it's we come before the world saying, before all men, I confess my faith. God gave it to me. It's not mine, but yet He is my Lord. I confess that I love Him. My hope is in Him and Him alone before all the world. I'm here to say that this is my husband. This is my Lord. This is my life. Christ is my life. In Mark chapter 5, let me close with a couple of things here. In Mark chapter 5. To confess Christ in baptism and to confess Christ in word, or that is a witness to others. We speak to others concerning Him. Look at Mark chapter 5. This is how the Lord told us to witness of Him. Verse 19, this is the fellow who had the legion of devils cast out of him. 12,000. Verse 18. When he came into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him, begged him that he might be with him. He wanted to stay with the Lord. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not, allowed him not, but said unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee. Go home and confess before men not what you've done for Jesus. That's denying Him. Many will say unto me in that day, Christ said, Lord, Lord, we did this in your name. We did many wonderful works. Men that tell everybody and sound a trumpet and advertise what they've done for the Lord. They're not confessing the Lord. They're confessing themselves. People that wear all these things, they're not confessing the Lord. Now, maybe somebody could possibly, but I doubt it. But generally speaking, it's like the Pharisees who wear the phylacteries. Why are they doing that? That's scripture verses. Why are they doing that? So you'll know they're good Christians. That's not confessing Him. The Lord doesn't mention anything about the way you dress here. Pharisees dressed up. He said, that's hypocrisy. They're playing a part. They're dressing a part. Why? So people see them. We're not out for them to see us. To confess Christ is to confess Him. Him! Go home and tell them, you know what the Lord's done for me? What great things the Lord has done for me. Not vice versa. The woman at the well, remember? She ran home and told everybody, come see a man. Is not this the Christ? You told me everything about myself. Not come see our church, come see our preacher, come see our program, come see our building, come to a family church where everybody's somebody and you're somebody. Oh no, come see Christ. Come. It's to confess Christ, to tell others of His glory, His power, His mercy. And lastly, to confess Christ, man, you know, you can turn if you want to, Acts chapter 2. But to confess Christ in life, in your life. Now, again, we're not talking about an outward show of the way you dress and so forth. You couldn't, no one could distinguish Jesus Christ from the average man on the street. Couldn't. He didn't dress any way differently than anybody else. Did he? But this is what we're talking about, life, confessing in life, is a heart, a spirit, an attitude, a way of life, show forth His praises. And Acts chapter 2, it says, verse 41, after Peter preached and the Lord pricked their hearts and they were crying out, what must we do? And He said, believe. Repent, be baptized. Every one of you, verse 38, every one of you, repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. And with many other words, He said, save yourself. Then, verse 41, they that gladly received His word, that was good news to them, Christ crucified. They were baptized. They confessed Him before men. The same day were added 3,000 souls, and they, verse 42, continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. What's that? Worship. Before you couldn't get them into the church house. Now you can't keep them out. That's what Joseph, he's nodding his head right now. He said to me, you told me that, and I've heard that when the Lord reveals Himself to you, you'll start hearing and seeing. And he said, I see, I hear. And he said, now I can't wait to get there. Can't wait to come. I was exactly the same way. Real young, or at one point, you know, couldn't wait to get out. And now, by the grace of God, can't wait to get in. Can't wait to get in. Said that they, breaking of bread and prayers and fear, verse 43, fear came upon every soul. Fear of the Lord. Fear of the Lord. That characterizes God's people, a fear of the Lord. The world has got God's name on their lips. Does this still make you... Minnie and I watching shows all the time, and they'll use His name 5 or 6 or 7 or 10 or 12 times. We're just going, it's worse than if they were calling Hannah's name, cussing with Hannah's name. It's worse. I tremble to hearing it, and I tremble for them. They don't know what they're doing. Calling the only name that's able to keep a soul out of hell. Oh, fear came down. Verse 44, all that believe were together. That's what you call family, isn't it? Bodies, a body of Christ. Had all things common. Common faith, common possessions. What I have is yours. You need it, you got it. Read on. Verse 46, they continued daily with one accord, breaking bread from house to house. Did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. One purpose, one accord, one mind, one heart. What are they doing? Praising God. That's what it's all about. Why do y'all go to church? Well, to praise God. We worship God. That's why. That's why we go. We want to worship the Lord. We want to see Christ, rejoice in Christ. Don't have any flesh. Get that out of here. Get that flesh out of here. I want to worship in the Spirit and in the truth. Praising God, having favor with all the people. That is, the Lord made them model citizens. That's right. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved.
Particular redemption.
Before the world began, he had names that he put in the Lamb's Book of Life. Joseph, reckon yours was there. There's another one there I named. There's another Joe Parks. My. May the Lord do it for every one of us and our children. My. Okay, Joseph, you go prepare, and Brother Gabe, you come lead us in a hymn.